set him down on my lap. I said, "Son, what should I preach on today?" And he said, "Jesus being born." I said, "Okay. You see, that's how you get your messages? Absolutely. Get a four-year-old, sit him down your lap and go, what should I preach on, you know?" I just figure they're more innocent. There'll be a better channel of communication from the Lord. But we're not necessarily going to talk about something I think you would consider to be the traditional Christmas message, but it is part of the passage of Scripture that you might consider to be the traditional Christmas passage. So stand with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 2. Are you glad to be in church today? Amen. Amen. We have listen, I'll tell you what, guys, whether you are someone here for the first time or the thousandth time, we are glad that you're here, glad that you're worshiping the Lord with us. And my prayer is that you go home a little bit differently than you came. Amen. Luke chapter 2, look if you would, starting in verse number 21. You ever feel like after Christmas there's this like rush of emotion and then there's kind of like this, everybody's kind of wore out, they've maybe eaten a little bit more than they normally do, and kind of, you know, start, the week between Christmas and New Year's is that week where you're like, what day is it, you know, and kind of trying to get your balance and get back to a normal routine in life. And I know for kids, there's a lot of excitement leading up to that. And you know, whether it's more of a chaotic situation where every man is for himself and they're all ripping presents open at one time, which is kind of the household I grew up in. I did not keep that tradition from my growing up. Or you're kind of more like the factory and you line up the presents one row at a time and they open them up, man, and go at it. Listen, however you do that, I know this much. There's all this excitement, especially for the young people going into a holiday season like this. And then afterwards, like, all right, what do we do? Well, we're going to do what we've always done, and that we're worshiping the King this morning. And we're going to remember that just because the calendar date is no longer the 25th doesn't mean we can't talk about what God did for us. And I want to talk about a certain man that doesn't get a lot of attention this morning. Normally, Luke chapter 2, look if you would at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, that's Mary, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That was the law of the firstborn son. And to offer, verse 24, a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. No partridge in a pear tree on that one, amen? All right, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Padgett, if you would ask the Lord's blessing. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If there's anyone in here today that's never trusted
ask you today to reveal yourself to them. God, not just with a head knowledge, God, but with a heart knowledge. With the intent, God, that they could see themselves as you see them. God, that for a moment you could hang them over hell on a rotten rope. You could let them realize their lost estate.
Yeah.
That the word of God would be powerful today, as it was during this time that we're reading about in Luke chapter number 2. And God, whenever your birth took place on this earth amongst mere mortal men and women, and as we bow before you today, we pray for the preacher, that his words would be your words.
Amen.
That his thoughts would come from you.
Yeah.
And God, that the message relayed out of your word today would settle in our hearts, that we could be different when we leave here than the way we came in. We ask you to let the Holy Ghost just come down upon us.
Mm.
Empower us and strengthen Amen. Us that we could serve and be a minister to those that we encounter in the week ahead. And we'll give you the glory now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. Be seated if you would. I kind of like this passage because to me it kind of feels like maybe where we're at in this week, a lot of emotions that Mary and Joseph just went through. Imagine going on the long trip that they did from Nazareth to Bethlehem way down south and all the things that went on, the shepherds showing up, you know, no room in the inn and having little baby Jesus there in a manger. And all the anxiety and the stress and the pressure of that. You think your Christmases are tough. Theirs was a lot tougher, amen? I mean, the anxiety and the stress. I heard Brother Sean jokingly say before church, he said, you know, normally there's a lot of pressure to have people over at Christmas. That was kind of relieved this year, amen? And due to circumstances beyond our control, but understanding that this time of year there's a lot of stress and anxiety and did I get the right present and oh my goodness, all the kids are opening all the gifts and whether you're at the, you know, babies on the way stage or got a bunch of kids running around or the grandparent stage, there's a lot of thought that goes into the events that just went on in our lives this last week. And usually after a lot of anxiety and stress and thinking about things and the mental strain on your mind, usually following that, there's kind of this that goes on. And if you can imagine Mary and Joseph and all the stress that they had on them and the excitement as well. And the joy that they experience and you know, going through the, hey, there's no room for you, but I got a barn out here. You can use that. And they go to the, you know, the cattle shed, the lean-to, and little baby Jesus is born there. And all of a sudden, a bunch of shepherds show up. It wasn't like they sent out invitations or gender reveal notifications online. They were there having the baby, and then all of a sudden, let me rephrase that. Gentlemen, you don't have babies, okay? She was there having the baby. He was just there. Amen. And you know, he's doing his or whatever it is that they do now. I don't know if they changed the Lamaze or not. Is that still a thing? Does anybody have any idea? Any ideas over here? Is it? Don't know. Okay. You guys had one 2 years ago, right? None of that stuff. No, we're going organic, man. I find my breathing patterns from the universe. Anyways, whatever your situation is, there's Joseph, and he's, you know, helping her out. He's doing his part, and she's, you know, in agony. It wasn't like, you know, Mary was perfectly manicured, you know, and her makeup. It wasn't like a Hallmark movie where the woman wakes up out of bed with makeup on and, you know, the curly eyelashes and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't like that. It was a mess. Imagine what it's like. Listen, the hospitals kind of clean up everything, but, man, there's this mess in this birth, in this stall and this afterbirth and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't a beautiful scene as far as nature is concerned, but beautiful from God's standpoint, absolutely. And after the rush of those emotions and the shepherds coming and rejoicing in the birth of this young baby and the discovery of who he is and what God's intention was, the Bible says here, I like this, a little over a week's time, look at verse 21. I mean, you got to talk about, you know, dedication. It's been a week, and man, they're back in church with their kid. Am I right about that? 8 days later, they're at the temple. And oh, by the way, Bethlehem is not exactly, it's not just next door to Jerusalem. There's travel involved with that. You say, what are Mary and Joseph doing in this situation? Mary and Joseph are doing what they know to do scripturally. Can I point out to you that God did not send an angel and go, you better go to Jerusalem. It's time to get your son circumcised and make sure that everybody knows his name. He didn't do that. Why? Because that was already revealed in the scriptures. God supernaturally showed up to show them things that they could not get out of the Bible itself. Is this making sense? Oftentimes we go, God, should I do this? Should I do that? It's like me going, God, should I love my wife? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Do you know what this young couple is doing? What they knew God's word already told them to do. And as they're just living their everyday life and doing what God told them to do, just a little, a day past a week from this huge event that went on. And by the way, we really don't know. We know at one point they moved in back into a house in Bethlehem, but did they stay in that stall, in that manger for a week? I don't know. I would like to think not. But whatever their situation was, I can tell you this much. It wasn't like they were high on the hog and low on the chicken. They were not staying at the Marriott either way. You don't do that in the first century on a carpenter's salary. So wherever they were staying was probably kind of crude and rough, but it made it work, and the Lord took care of them. But in that all that situation, they go, you know what? It's time for us to travel again. Why? To keep God's word. Parents, can I just say this? You know, God can do some amazing things in your lives and in your children's life if you would just teach them to be where they're supposed to be when God tells them to be there. You know, Jesus, I thought about this, and someone reminded me of this recently. All that Jesus had to go through, the Lord did not show up like Superman on this planet, you know, and come out from outer space at 33 years old and go, okay, everybody, I'm here. He came as a baby and grew up. And all of that was part of the process to get him to where he needed to be to follow his father's will. Guess what Luke 2 is? Where Mary and Joseph go, let's take our son to the temple. Let's get him to church. You'd be amazed at what God can do when you just bring your kids to church. Amen. And here it is in the backdrop of just a normal everyday life situation. What they're doing is not unique. Now, their circumstance might be unique, but what they're doing in and of itself is not unique. They're doing what God told them to do. And in the process of doing what God told them to do and following, as it says in verse 22 and in verse 23, the law of the Lord, what was written in the Levitical law about the firstborn son, in doing that, God brings a man named Simeon across their path. I wonder sometimes, you know, Joseph needed a little bit of redirection from the angel to not put his wife away. We learned about that. Mary needed a little bit of confirmation that, hey, what's happening to you right now, you know, this is of the Lord. They needed confirmation all along the way. Do you think maybe after about a week of living in not the greatest conditions and they still don't maybe have their house situation quite taken care of yet, that maybe God saw this young couple and he saw they were willing to do what God told them to do from the word of God, and he goes, you know what? I've worked out so many things, and this is how God works. He's been working in Simeon's life for decades. Mary and Joseph don't know Simeon from Adam. They don't know who he is. They just happen to cross paths at the right place and the right time. And I wonder about this because I think about King Herod, and I think about the fact that Herod was the one that tells the wise men, you go search for him. And when you find him, bring him to me. You know what the irony is in all of this, guys? Jesus was in Jerusalem when Herod was there, and they never met. Now, why does God bring Jesus across the path of Simeon and not Herod at that time? Well, you can answer it now in hindsight. You go, well, Herod was going to kill them. Yeah, but it's a little bit deeper than that. It's not just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. Boy, that's part of it. There is so much more, though, when you look into the life of Simeon, when you look into his life and you realize, man, he is waiting for something that matters, not just for him, but for so many others. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 2 in verse number 25. It says that Simeon was a just and devout man. Watch it. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Can I say this? Can I say that if you look back at Israel in that day and time, their situation was a bad one. As a matter of fact, you know what the Romans did? They showed up in town and said, you're going to get taxed, and if you don't, you're going to go to jail. So you know what they had to do? They had to go to their own, the cities of their lineage, which was not easy. And by the way, there was no stimulus check. They didn't fight over $600 or $2,000 or, man, I tell you what, though, I mean, that's a $2,000 will go like that anyways. But I mean, if you're going to send it, listen, when it comes to this stuff, let's be honest, we're all a little bit like Jimmy, amen? My name is Jimmy, I'll take what you give me, right? But regardless of all of that, you know, there was no stimulus. They didn't have any of that. They were told, you have got to go. You know what they were under? They were under the oppression of foreign occupation. And you know what they were waiting for? They were waiting and hoping and looking and praying and waiting for their Messiah to show up. You have to understand, Simeon's situation is kind of like ours. You know what Simeon was waiting for? He was waiting for the Lord to show up. You know what's hard to do sometimes? To wait on God. Can I say this? You need the Lord to show up in your marriage, in your home, with your children, in your church, in your walk with Christ. You need the Lord to show up in every single area of your life. But waiting on that sometimes is difficult. Can I get a witness? Oh, man, I tell you what, right before the big day when they open all the presents, you know, one brother says to another brother, I know what your present is. What is it? Shh. Well, you can look right there through the wrapping paper. Be quiet, boy. You say, what? They just can't wait. And now I'm telling them it's 363 more days until the time they get to do it again. And they're getting mad at the preacher. You know what I'm going to tell them? You got to wait. That's life, right? You know what happens when you're in high school? I need a phone. 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 Why? Because everybody needs to get a hold of me. No, they don't. You know, and then you get a phone. I need a car. I need a car. I need a car. Why? So I can pay for my phone. So I can get a job and pay for the car that pays for the phone. And then so it continues for the rest of your life until they put you 6 feet under, amen? And you're so anxious to get the first job and to get that first paycheck. Amen. You know, I need a girlfriend. I need a boyfriend. I need this. I need that. I just got to have it. I got to have it. Can I say this? A lot of times when people aren't willing to wait on the Lord, they find themselves in a mess. Jesus Christ himself knew he was going to have a kingdom, knew that kingdom was his to have, knew he would be the king. And yet when the devil comes and tempts him and says, make these stones into bread. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, all right, yeah, good verse. Good, you got me there, Jesus. Good verse. But listen, why don't you cast yourself down and the angels will make sure, they'll pick you up. They'll make sure that, I mean, you're the Son of God after all. And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The devil sings, you know that, right? And so he's getting to the concert and the Lord goes, yeah, but not now. Are you hearing me? Yeah, but not now. You say, what do you have to do? Jesus himself had to wait on the Lord. What a thought. Can I say this? Jesus is not here for our entertainment, and thus he's not on our timetable. That's why he didn't show up to Herod. Herod wanted a show, and Jesus goes, no, I'm not interested in that. The Lord will reveal himself to those who desire to wait and are patient in the promises of God and looking for the Lord to do what the Lord said he would do for us. We learn from this passage about Simeon's character. Look at verse 25. The Bible says he was a just and devout man. Can I just show you here in verse number 25? The Bible says that there was a man in Jerusalem. You say, who? Just a man. You say, what does that mean? Well, what it means is this. God will show himself to anybody who's willing to listen. Amen. You know what else it shows me? Simeon, it doesn't say like Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. So we can see why the Lord showed up to Zechariah. The Lord himself is a prophet, a priest, and a king. And yet he rejects the kingdoms of his day and the urge to get involved in politics in his day. He rejects that knowing he would have to suffer as a servant to come back someday as a king. And do you know what we're waiting for right now? For that day to come. But the Bible says about Simeon, just a man in Jerusalem. What great talent did Simeon have? What great, you know, did he go to Bible college? Did he study, you know, did he get a master's in biblical theology? Did he get a doctorate in divinity? What, Simeon, what did you do? I'm just a guy that was waiting. I'm just a guy that was looking. I read what God said. I believed it. And I'm just, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a priest. I'm not a king. You say, what are you? I don't know. I guess you just call me a man living in Jerusalem. The Bible says about this man, he was just. Walking with God, and he was devout. This meant he was faithful to the Lord. Before we go much further, I just want to say this. God cares about our character. Amen. We've been learning about that in Sunday school, in the adult Sunday school class. God cares more about our character than just getting us across some artificial finish line. And a lot of your character in the Christian life comes from learning to do, we talked about that the kids will do during service. You say what? Being still. Okay, God, what about now? Wait. Come on, God, I've got some great talents. Put me in, coach, put me in. And God goes, wait. But God, she's really good looking. Wait. But he's so handsome. Wait. Am I talking to any teenagers right now? All right, you know, and but God, you got to understand where I'm at. And the Lord's like, you have to understand where I'm at. I see everything from up here. Character may be manifested in the great moments, but it's made in the small ones. Character is not made in crisis. It is only exhibited then. Sow a thought, reap an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, reap a destiny. I heard a preacher say it like this: your character is defined by what you do when nobody's watching. That is who you really are. And let me just say this, if we are to become what God has called us to be, following this time we celebrate the birth of our Savior and looking forward to what God has next in the new year, if we're to be the people God wants us to be, it's going to come from learning to wait on the Lord. Anybody ever go to the DMV? Don't you wish the government ran every facet of your life? Wouldn't it be great? Take a number, please. Well, my name's Adrian. I don't care. Number? You know, number 47, come in the window, you know. And you go to the DMV. I you may think I'm weird. I like going to the DMV. I've had so many chances to witness to people, and it's kind of like a people zoo. You just never know what's going to happen at the DMV. You know, there's the one that I go to is off of Chambers and like Alameda and Chambers area, and it's just a wild place to be, and I like going there. You say, why? Well, because you're going to have a lot of time to kill. You may as well enjoy yourself. You are not going to walk in there and 5 minutes later walk out with your license or license plates or anything else. You're going to wait a while. And no one's going to say, oh, you've got a pressing need. You've got to go first. Okay, here's my ticket 4 hours ahead of yours. You know what you're going to have to learn to do? Wait. And you may complain all you want. You can gripe all you want. But you know what you're going to do? You are going to wait because you know you've got to have a legal license plate. Let me say this for all the young people. You should have a legal license plate to drive with, all right? It is something you need to have to be operating your vehicle on the roads. So you learn to do, you learn to wait. And when you go to the grocery store around Christmas Eve, and there's a line that extends outside of Walmart, and it goes around the block, you know, and you know what you're going to do? If you really got to go to the store, you're going to wait. And when you go to the doctor's office, and they tell you to be 15 minutes early, and they don't call your name until 20 minutes after the original appointment, you ever get to the doctor's office and you're like, why did I rush here? Why did I get here early? You know what's happening in the back room? All the doctors are like, sucker. they're not doing that. I have that vision in my head when I go to the doctor's office, you know. But I'm sure there's a reason they tell you that. But you understand what I'm getting at. You are going to have to learn to wait for a lot of things in your life, whether you like it or not. How about waiting on the Lord? Sometimes when you get panicked and you want to see God do something. Can I say this? You know what Simeon could have done every week? Are you the baby? Are you the baby? Are you the baby? Are you the one? And the parents are like, what is wrong with this crazy old man? Do you know what Simeon had to do? He had to learn to just sit back a little bit and hear from the Lord. You just went through a real busy time of year, and it's been a crazy year for everybody. Do you know what you need to learn to do? Slow down and listen to the Lord this morning. The Bible says he waited on the Lord. Man, you look outside the world and you see, man, the rioting, and you see, you know, the racial tension that exists within. And by the way, I think so much of that's fabricated by the media. I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Orient. It does not matter to me at all. You are a soul that Jesus Christ loved and died for. And if you're saved, you're my brother in Christ, no matter what you look like on the outside. You say, someone told me one time, we're all the same on the inside. You know, I said, absolutely, we're all sinners, right? But all this stuff that's going on in the world, man, the racial tension and you know, the rioting and the stuff with the vaccine that may come and when it comes and how it comes and who's delivering it and do I get it, do I not? Will they force me to get it? Will I have to get it if I have to get on an airplane? What will I do? And all this kind of stuff that's going on. You know what the world is looking for right now? Some consolation. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to look in all the wrong places. You've got it, Christian. But you got to wait on some things. You know what they say? Good things come to those who... The Bible says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be good if he came right now? I said that yesterday and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that. You know what I'm doing? I'm still doing it. So are you. We're waiting. The Bible says, and await for his Son from heaven... The Bible says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Psalm 37, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Proverbs 20, verse 22, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. Psalms 33, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Psalms 130, verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Romans 8, 19, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's like this. The Lord brings us to the point of salvation. You get saved and you're on this journey. And man, in this life, there's trouble and there's anxiety and there's stress and there's pressure. And then you're going, God, I need to change. God, this needs to happen in my life. And God, you need to make this happen. And God, make it happen now. Just like I said in Sunday school, most things that are instant are not as good as the original. Instant pizza is not the same as, you know, not so instant pizza. You know what instant pizza is? It's a hot pocket. Now, let me tell you something. There's a place and time for hot pockets, amen? When you're a student in Bible school and you don't know how to cook, hot pockets, okay? That's to help you. Write hot pockets down on the margin of your Bible, all right? But outside of those moments, I'm going to tell you, more often than not, the things that are instant gratification comes with lifelong regret. The things that you look at and go, I gotta have it, I gotta have it, I gotta have it. This matters to me, and this will make me who I am. And all those things, God, you've gotta move. God, you gotta do this. Sometimes the Lord just says, wait. You know, Saul had that problem. Preacher's never on time. He always goes too long. I bet you when Saul was there waiting on the preacher Samuel to show, I bet you Saul's like, you know, I know what happened. He was at another service, and he just kept going on and going on, and he went to the fourth point and the fifth point and the sixth point, and the conclusion went on, and he just wouldn't show up. So you know what? You know, whatever God wants to do with the preacher, that's fine, but I'm going to have the sacrifice now because we got to go. It's 12 o'clock. It's lunchtime somewhere. Let's get this thing going. Up shows the preacher, what are you doing? Well, you didn't show up on time. You know what Samuel would have said if it was right now? The Lord wanted to teach you a lesson. You couldn't wait. You know what Saul does? He gets out of the will of God because he can't wait. Amnon says, I got to have her, I got to have her, I got to have her, I got to have her. Amnon says, I can't stop thinking about her. I've got to, man. And you know what God says? You know what? Maybe you should talk to your dad about it. Yeah. But I need it now. It costs him his life. Adam and Eve, you want knowledge of good and evil? You can get it from the Lord a little bit differently than how you're going about it. But I need it now. I want it now. Well, 7 billion people on the planet, all infected with this virus called sin. It comes from an impatient couple. Can I say this? Waiting on the Lord means being patient in God's promises. Look, if you would, at verse 25. The Bible says you're waiting for the consolation of Israel. I wonder if Simeon was familiar with Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. You know what that passage is about? That passage is about the fact, by the way, for years, you know what the scholars, the purported scholars would say? There's two Isaiahs. The first Isaiah is from chapter 1 to 39, and the second Isaiah, the different author of Isaiah, there is no different author of Isaiah. If there was, God would have told you, it's Isaiah. But the reason they said that is because chapters 1 through 39 is like, God's going to judge you. You're all going to die. God's going to judge you. You don't listen. You're going to die again, die again, die. Judgment and wrath. And then chapter 40, comfort ye. comfort ye. You remember my Handel's Messiah? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone know what I'm talking about? All right, Handel's Messiah, right? Comfort ye, my people, Isaiah chapter 40. I wonder if he read that and he goes, God, no one thinks you can do that, but I do. Amen. And Lord, I'm going to look for it. Lord, I don't know what everybody else is going to do and what they're going to get involved in, but the one thing I want to do is I want to wait to see your comfort. You know what God tells him? You're not going to die until you see it happen. And so this couple walks in, and it's been like every other day in temple. Simeon has gone in as the Lord has told him. He's done his prayers. He's talked to God. But this day was a little bit different when this young couple comes in. And let me just say this. Oftentimes we think it's a new job, a new career, a new relationship, a new person, a new hobby, a new this, a new that. And somehow, magically, I wave a wand on January 1st and everything is new. And 2020, bad year. 2021 is going to be great. Because everything that happened in 2020 will not affect anything that happens in 2021. Clearly, that's never been how it's worked for anybody in history, right? You understand what I'm getting at. And we think, new, that's going to make everything in my life new. And you know what Simeon did every single day? He went where God told him to go. And you know what? I'm sure it got old to him. It didn't happen yesterday, but I'll go again. It didn't happen yesterday, but I'll go again. I've had people tell me, preacher, I tried that. You know what my answer is? Try it again. Waiting on the Lord means patience and God's promises. I heard a message one time and it was called No Time for Patience. You say, what does that mean? We don't want, God, I want you to teach me to be patient and teach me to be patient right now. Lord, I'm going to download my patience app and you're going to help me be patient. I got news for you. There is no app for that. We have older kids. We've got younger kids in our house. Some of the older kids help cook. And, you know, Mama's kind of like the chef in Ratatouille, you know. She's going to let you know if you're doing something wrong. And if you don't know what that movie's about, it's a great classical, it's a great classic documentary on, you know, mice, little rodent life in restaurants. Anyways, Mom's going to tell you, hey, these pancakes are too gooey. They're, and then the look of disappointment on the child. Mother, you've crushed my soul. What do you mean the pancakes are too gooey? As the goo falls out of Mom's mouth. They're too gooey. You say, what does it come from? An inability to wait. It's like flip. Okay, they're done. No, they got a little bit longer. It's almost like we go, okay, boys, you clean the room. Yay, it's clean. We're ready to go play. Okay, I'm going to go check. Hold on, Dad. I'll go check. You know what it is? It's kind of like this impatience. I've got to move on to the next thing. I don't have time for that. You know what happens with us in the Christian life? Boy, the same thing. Same thing. Go with me to the book of James. James chapter number 1. You know what I wonder about? I wonder if you read this chapter, there's another lady in this chapter named Anna. Anybody remember that? She's 84 years old when she gets to see the baby. And I don't know, the Bible does not tell us how old Simeon is, but the implication is he's old because he's waiting to die. Most people in their 30s aren't like, am I going to die yet? Is it time? Right? I mean, he's probably older. I oftentimes wonder, what if they had Christian mingle back then? You know, must be octogenarian. Must enjoy time in the Bible, must love talking about prophecy, you know, enjoy talking about the Messiah coming. They would have found each other, but the Lord didn't do that, all right? And Simeon and Anna are two separate accounts, but you know what you learn about both of them? They were there a long time, waiting. Look at James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do you know why you don't see a lot of 20-something sitting on a front porch going, I will knock it over. Rocking back and forth. You know why? They got stuff to do. Gotta go. You get a little older, a little bit later in life, you know what you realize? Bill collectors coming. Ah, they can wait. You got to be somewhere. Yeah, we'll get there. You move slower. You know, it's just, we'll get there. You know, and you just find a little bit more patience with older folks oftentimes because what they've learned to realize is tomorrow's going to come. This rush to go somewhere where I don't even know where I'm going. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. The implication is you're still gooey on the inside when you don't let the Lord flip you the right way. You understand? You're not fit for consumption. You're not ready to be used of the Lord when you ask the Lord to flip you early. It takes some maturing and some patience. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Chuck Swindoll, while I may not agree with him on everything, he said this, and this is great. True patience is awaiting for God without worrying. Leonardo da Vinci, the artist, not the Ninja Turtle, okay, said patience serves as a protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and then they will be powerless to vex your mind. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? He is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Do you realize who you're dealing with? You're dealing with someone who's not in a rush. Because he's sitting up there seeing the end of everything. He's in eternity. He comes into time to interact with us. He does that for us. But he's the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And sometimes we're like, God, Lord, you said you'd do this. And Lord, I believe your promises, but I want them delivered now. Let me just say this. The Lord is not Amazon. He doesn't show up in 2 days, all right? You're not. There's no membership where the Lord does things quicker for you. Lord, I gave a little bit more money last week for the missionaries. Can you work a little bit faster? That's not how it works with God. Well, the way it works with God is God is going, look, I see things in your character that, listen, I don't know much about Simeon outside that he's just and devout. He lived in Jerusalem, and he waited for the consolation of Israel. But if I had to guess, I would guess this. There was a time in his life where Simeon was probably younger and more vibrant and ready to kill, you know, as they say, go to hell with a squirt gun and, man, go attack everything and overcome the world. And God just goes, there's some things I want to do in your life that you don't see right now. And Simeon, I know you want to go to all these other places, but I want to keep you in Jerusalem. God, but Lord, I could do so much. Yeah, but there's something I want you to see. And there's something I want you to be a part of. And if you rush off and go do your thing, you'll never be a part of something that will be recorded in my scriptures forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I'd like to get a shot. I mean, think about this. If you had a shot to be recorded in Scripture, how would you like to go down? Amnon or Simeon? You know, you realize David is a good man, but David's not a perfect man. You know, part of David's problem? Not being in the right place at the right time. Do you know what patience will do in your life? It'll put you where you need to be when you don't even see that you need to be there. I have to tell you, every time that some weird end timesy thing pops up in the news, I go, Lord, is it today? Can we get out of here yet? And you know what we struggle with? God, why don't you come back? And I think that's what every Christian ought to be looking forward to more than anything else in their life. But I wonder if the Lord looks down and he goes, yeah, but I still want to reach Sean. And I still want to reach Jenny. And I still want to reach Johnny. And I still want to reach, do you see what I'm saying? Listen, you could go into prophetic studies and look at everything that's going on. You go, what else has to happen for the Lord to come back? I can't find anything in Scripture that has to happen. I believe he could come back at any time. But you know what I do know? In the meantime, there's a job for us to do.
Amen.
Part of it involves waiting. I wonder about doubting Thomas. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Are you patient in the promises of God? Do you know what those promises are to you? If you ever get a hold of those, you'll understand that they don't always come to fruition all in one day. And God, through patience, does a perfect work in your life that you don't always appreciate or understand. But if you're waiting to see God show up, you have to learn to be patient in his promises. I like the story of doubting Thomas because, after all, we get to pick on somebody else and the attention goes off of us. Amen. But look at John chapter 20 and look, if you would, at verse number 20. You say, what's going on? The disciples are having church. And as they're having church, you say, what makes church? Jesus shows up. Amen. Otherwise, just a social club. I mean, that's all it is. Unless the Lord shows up, there's no advantage to it. You understand that we could be just a social club, and we don't want to be just a social club. You understand that? There's the Kiwanis and the Shriners and the Knights of Templar and all these different organizations that do good things in the world. The church is not just another one of those things. What makes the church unique and a living body is that the head of the body, Jesus Christ, we pray that he walks in through here on Sunday morning, not as a 90-foot Jesus or anything like that, but in a spiritual capacity and touches every soul in this room. That's what makes the church unique. The Bible says that the disciples were gathered in this upper room in John chapter 20. And look what I want you to notice what it says here in verse number 20. When they saw the Lord, at the end of the verse, the disciples were glad. Can I point out they had some passion in that room because they saw Jesus? Can I point out in verse 21, they received some peace because they saw Jesus? Can I point out to you, they received some purpose in their life in verse 21 where it says, even so send I you, because Jesus was there. And can I point out to you in verse 22, they received possession of the Holy Spirit because Jesus showed up that day and breathed on them, and the Holy Spirit of God came on those disciples right there and then. You know who's not there? Thomas. And can I point out to you that if you read the passage, Jesus doesn't show up again until 8 more days. What am I getting at? I can't tell you everything that was going through Thomas's mind, but I wonder if it went a little bit something like this. I did that before. It didn't end like I wanted it to. I'm done waiting. I'm moving on with my life without Jesus. Is this making any sense? 8 days later, he gets a second chance. Can I say this? Not everybody does. He got it. He made it right. But he missed out on so much because he was unwilling to wait. You ever been in traffic? Denver traffic, right? And every road, it seems like every road is being worked on right now. Now you realize if they didn't work on the roads, you would complain about how the roads need to be worked on, right? Man, where are they going to ever do something about this? And then they start doing it. What is taking them so long? And then you get somewhere, the horns are beeping and, you know, fingers are going up and stuff's happening and all kinds of emotions are happening from inside of cars, you know, and people are making gestures and nobody's happy. And then you get up to it and you realize, man, it wasn't just construction, there was an accident. And had I gotten out of the house like I wanted to on my timetable, that could have been me. Can I say this? Waiting on the Lord. Go back, if you would, to our passage in Luke chapter 2. Waiting on the Lord means you are patient in the promises of God. Secondly, can I say waiting on the Lord means being willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. Being willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. Can I point out to you, in verse number 25, there's mention of the Holy Ghost. In verse 26, there's mention of the Holy Ghost. In verse 27, there's mention of the Holy Ghost. In verse 25, the Holy Ghost is upon him. If you're saved, he's upon you as well. In verse 26, the Holy Ghost revealed something to him. Boy, you can have that happen as well. And in verse 27, the Bible says the Holy Ghost led him all through this thing. There's the encounter of him with the Holy Spirit of God leading him and guiding him into truth. You know what Jesus says? I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave you a comforter. His job is to comfort you. How does he do that? He leads and guides you into all truth. You know what that means sometimes? Sometimes if you get ahead of the Lord, you got to put the brakes on and go, I missed these steps over here. Let me tell you guys, I know at least two people right now who are in Bible school. You say, why? Because they were there 20 years ago. They didn't finish. They got ahead of God, and nothing in their life worked out in order because they didn't take care of what God had shown them that he wanted them to do back here. So guess what they did? They went back to where they started. And some of you might go, what a failure. I would say it's a success. At least they got back to where they needed to be. But you know what's better than that? Not getting ahead of God and going, man, I'm wanting to jump over here and jump over here, and it's just me. It's not the Spirit of God leading this. Amen. I know some Christians, man, every 6 months, there's a new thing. There's this thing and this thing, and I'm going to do this. And listen. I am thankful that the Apostle Paul, he was not a missionary like most of the missionaries that we know. If a missionary goes to a foreign field, we expect them to die there. What do you mean you're coming back to America? We sent you $25 a month. We gave you lots of money. So you better stay there and die there and bury your heart there. And we won't come for the funeral, but we'll watch it online. But you stay there until the end. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't do that. You know what he did? He went here, and he went here, and he went here. I'm not advocating that it's one and done, but I'm going to say this. For a lot of God's people, it's a different thing all the time, and the Lord's not in it. Can I say this? He was led by the Spirit of God. And I don't think it was just that day. You know what we do? We oftentimes rush into things. We have no prayer. We say, God, I'm going to do it. And don't listen to any biblical counsel. The only counsel you'll get is someone that tells you, yes, go. God is with you. You know what you have today? You have the ability to get that kind of counsel online from people that aren't with you. I am always very leery when someone reaches out to me from the other side of the world and goes, what do you think? And my first question is, do you have a pastor in a church you go to? You know why? Because I don't know everything that's going on in your life. And bingo is his name-o, amen? What the idea is, that's why they want counsel from me, because I don't know. And they're going to set up the situation just right and go, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I think God's doing in my life. Don't you agree? I guess so. Thank you, preacher. I appreciate that biblical confirmation. I'm going to go do what I want to do in the beginning, whether you told me to or not. Amen. That's how it goes. You say, what is that? That's a lot of folks that don't want to wait on God. Decisions are made without scriptural input. You know what the Spirit of God will have you do? You can be led by your flesh or led by the Spirit. You know what the Spirit of God will do? He'll do things in your life that are not comfortable. Amen. He'll allow you to go through things that will just cause you to get tired and weary. Amen. He'll basically do things that will build your character. Yes. Not everything that God leads you to do is going to be just how you want it. I'm thankful after 10 years that we have a church, and it's a growing church. And while we have a number of people out sick and traveling, guys, when everybody's here, this place, there's no room. We need a new building. Amen? Amen. I'm thankful for that problem. But let me just say this. Can I tell you how that doesn't happen? If in the first 6 months to a year, when I'm having Bible study on a Wednesday night, and nobody comes except for an older lady who walks in and sees the disappointment and grief on my face, and she says, stick with it. And I go, yeah, you know what? You're not the one doing this. And I get bitter about it, and I quit. That's not that I'm some great thing. That's not the point. The point is, what would I have missed out on? Right. I wouldn't get to know you. And I never would have met you today. And I wouldn't have seen God work in your lives. And I wouldn't have seen God work in your families. And the list goes on and on. And I would never get to see Brother Sean be like Tigger when people walk in and shake their hands and be excited and get up on Wednesday night and say, isn't it going to be saved? I'd miss all of that. Can I say that Jesus was led by the Spirit of God? You say, where was he led to? The wilderness, to be tempted. That's biblical. The Spirit of God doesn't always lead us in things that we like, but things that are right for us. Philip, the Bible says, was led by the Spirit of God. And you know what the Spirit of God told Philip? Go join thyself near under this chariot and talk to this Ethiopian. And I love the exchange that happens. It's kind of like this casual conversation. And Phil looks up to the man in the chariot. And Phil goes, hey, man, you get what you're reading? You know what the man says back? I'm reading a lot of stuff here, but how can I unless some man should guide me? And the Bible says that Phil goes, hey, you got room for one more in that chariot? Yeah, I got a two-seater. Come on in. And Philip jumps into that chariot with him, and he starts expounding to him the scriptures. Do you know where that starts? Philip is having a revival in Samaria, a place where there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. And God takes, through the Spirit of God, he takes Philip from that thriving environment and drops him over here in the middle of nowhere where there's one guy in a chariot. You say, what is that? That's how the Spirit of God will move in your life sometimes. It won't always be something that you want, but boy, it'll be exactly what you need. I remember when I was trying to get counsel about marrying my wife. I was playing basketball one day with all the guys, and Brother Donovan needed a ride home, so I said, hey, Brother, you got a ride home? No? Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate it, Brother Dominguez. So we're sitting in the car, and it was that awkward, you know, moment where you're like, okay, don't say anything stupid. Don't say anything unspiritual. You know, it's like, hey, did you ever see Goonies? And no, don't do that, you know. And I remember driving, and I said, hey, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah. I said, what do you think of Lacey Clark? And he goes, well, that's a good girl. She makes really good lasagna. He said it just like that, and I said, thank you, Lord, for the confirmation. True story. That was true. That actually happened. You say, what am I getting at? Well, it pays to get some counsel in your life and to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, there's been times where people come to church and I want them to get saved. And I'm like, hey, what do you think about salvation? And it's almost like the Spirit of God goes, talk to them, but don't drive them. And then there's other times the Spirit of God says, they're ready, plunge ahead. And you know what? I'm not saying I always get it right, but boy, it is a blessing when it works. There's nothing like looking at an experience in your life and going, oh, Lord, you did that. And I would say this to the believers in this room. When was the last time you could look at something in your life and go, man, that was led by the Spirit of God. That wasn't me. I'll tell you this on the flip side. There's nothing like doing it in your flesh. I have gotten up with the perfect message and the perfect points and the perfect illustrations, and it's just like, it's a slow, slow, agonizing death for a 45-minute period of time. Some of you are like, 45 minutes? When did you do that? Remember that really bad message? That was it. That was waiting on the Lord. He's being led by the Spirit of God. It also means being rewarded by him. You know, people think of inspiration as like, oh, I got this spark, you know, this thing that's going to make me who I am. Can I point out to you, look if you would, in verse number 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He had the reward of revelation from the Lord. What a thing. Don't you want to see God show you stuff in your life? I mean, don't you want to get in your Bible and go, man, Lord, I never saw that before. Oh, man, Lord, there's no way I would have seen that in my life had you not shown me. God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you brought on Sunday. Lord, I didn't like the message, but it was like, you know, shove it in like the broccoli. And Lord, you did something with my life. And thank you for the revelation, God. Thank you for your inspiration in my life. Lord, for bringing things to me. Look what it says here. The Bible says in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was inspired to move at God's leadership. Man, there's something that happens when you yield to that in your life. And I want you to look at verse 28. Can you imagine holding God manifest in the flesh in your arms? The reward of possession. Looking into the eyes of the one who would make everything right. I got to tell you, if I'm showing up, I remember we were in Bolivia, South America. As you can tell, me and my wife, we don't look alike at all. Blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, and she sticks out in a crowd there in Bolivia, and we're walking in the markets, and she was a baby, and I remember, you know, literally walking through the markets, And they would, some of them knew I was the preacher, so they just automatically thought my kids are just their kids. And so they would, you know, she's walking through the market and they would grab her as a baby and she would look at her mom with this panic look, you know. And mom's looking at me with a panic look like, please translate what's going on. And I'm just going, tranquilo, it's okay, it's okay. You know, and they would grab, and they go, oh, mira este bebé, mira estos ojos azules, que linda. You know, talking to her in Spanish, no, they don't know what's going on. They're panicking. Imagine going to church, some old man comes up and he goes, can I have your kid? I don't, listen, I don't allow kids to be foreigners to me. If you parents know this, your little ones, I walk to them, how you doing? Yeah! You know, and for the first 6 months to a year that they're here, they're probably coming in panic mode to church, you know, but eventually we become best friends. And here's this old man that grabs Jesus and he gets to do what very few people get to do. With tears rolling down his face, he looks up and he goes, I get it. I get why you had me do this for so many years. I get why they made fun of me, calling me the old crazy man and the old prophet. I don't care now. This is worth it. Lord, thank you for allowing me to hold your son in my arms. Thank you for allowing me to grab a hold of Jesus Christ in my life and bring him into my marriage and into my home and into my thoughts and into my being and, Lord, into my plans and into my desires. Lord, thank you for allowing me to get a hold. You say, why? Because I was willing to wait on God and his timing. Verse 30. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. They say perception is reality. The greatest reality is that which is true. Talk about getting God's perception. He got to see. Now listen, think about this. Others said, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. Release Barabbas on us. Away with this man, they said. Not Simeon. He goes, ah, my eyes saw his salvation. You know what that is? Getting God's perception. Do you know what you need in your life? God's perception on everything that you touch. You know what God can do in your life because you're willing to wait on him? Look, if you would, at verse number 30. Oh, man, he starts talking to the Lord out loud. You ever been around someone like that? Oh, man, I used to hear stories about Dr. Bob Jones Sr. from, you know, years and years ago. He'd be talking, someone would be talking to him. He'd go, yeah, that's great. And Lord, would you bless Charlie? Would you help him? And God, would you give us the Holy Spirit, God, and fill this place tonight? And he talked back to this person, and then someone would ask him a question. God, what do you think about that question? Lord, what do you think brother so-and-so should do? He said, what is that? Just having a prayer with God out loud where everybody else can hear. Listen, I don't know about you. People that are that spiritual scare me. Say, why? Because I'm not there all the time. But Simeon was there that day. He's having a conversation with the Lord out loud. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Would you look at verse 33? Do you realize you waiting on the Lord could attract other people to the message that you're preaching? You know what the Bible says they did? They marveled. And you know what they did? They wondered after it. And it, you know what it did in their life? It showed them what was right and what was true. You say, what did God? How did God do that? Through an old man that came to church like he was supposed to every day, waiting for the Lord to show up in his life. You see, going into this new year, it may not be some huge event that God is going to use you on. Not that he couldn't, but oftentimes it's just those small, everyday life things that God wants to use to see if you're willing to wait on him. And in doing so, he can change your life. Now, let me just say this as we close. There's only one thing I can think of in this world that I could tell anybody in this room you should never wait on once you know you have the opportunity to do it. You know what that is? Get saved. There's not one reason you say, well, you just preached an entire message about waiting. Let me just say it like this. The world is still waiting for their Messiah to show up. He already came 2,000 years ago. You don't have to wait for that. You don't have to wait to be saved. If you know you're a sinner and you know that you don't stand eye to eye with Jesus Christ, he's on a different level because he's sinless and you're not, and you know that your sins are going to have to be paid for, and the Holy Spirit of God has been dealing with you and revealing that to you and showing you that you're lost. Let me say this, a lost soul is not just somebody that has lost their purpose in life. A lost soul is someone that doesn't understand who they are because they don't know who God is. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. If you're lost today, let me say it like this. There's only two categories. There's not black and white and this color and that color and this race and that race and Arab and Palestinian and Jew. No, no, there's only two kinds of people, lost and saved. I just spent a whole entire message talking to saved people about waiting on God. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, let me just say this. As we close the message out, don't wait any longer. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. You've got an appointment with God. You know what that appointment is? The Bible says it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You've got another appointment as well. And let me tell you like this. It kind of works this way. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. You know what the hard way is? That last appointment I just mentioned. But you got another appointment. God said it, and he's setting it right now. And he goes, you know what? I got an appointment to accept you as my son and to give you eternal life if you're willing to ask for it today. Is there anybody in this room that's saved? All right. Can I ask you, some of you, do you wish you got saved when you were younger?
Amen.
Don't wait. Christians, there's some things you got to wait on. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, there's some things you'll have to wait on for sure in your character, but don't wait to get saved. You say, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. Wonderful. But those good things will never measure up to the glory of God, which is Jesus Christ himself. Be saved today. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. As we go, Lord, in prayer, I ask out of courtesy for those around you that we bow our heads and close our eyes, and I would invite you at this moment in time, and I would say this. I told you to wait on a lot of things today in regards to the Lord showing up, to be patient. You know what you've done? You've been patient for the last hour. You know what the time is now? You've heard from the Lord. I pray you have. Now it's your turn to talk back to him. You were invited, and let me just say this. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, can I say this? Don't wait. Respond to him. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you need to talk to the Lord. Maybe you've gotten ahead of the Lord in your life in certain areas. Maybe there's some things you're struggling with. And God, I need you to show up. I need you to show up now. And you feel like God's left you. He's abandoned you. Let patience have her perfect work. Can I invite you, if you're a believer, struggling in some areas, or just needing some of more of God's character in your life, would you respond and talk to him about that? And if you're lost without Jesus Christ, can I invite you to be saved today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've mastered patience, I would say there's probably nothing to talk to the Lord about. But if there's some things in your life that you need some patience in, this might be a good time to talk to the Lord about it. A lot of hands went up a moment ago, and I said, do we have any saved people in here? If you're struggling with that saved concept, trying to wrap your mind around it, not so sure what it means, would like to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you die today, you'd be in heaven with Jesus Christ, but you don't know that you have that, every head is bowed and eyes are closed in here. Can I ask that you be honest with God, and maybe by simply lifting up your head and looking in this direction, if you're lost without Christ, that you might just slip your face up this way. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I'd like to pray for you if you're here like that today. You say, what are you going to do? I just want to pray for you. That's it. I can't save you through my prayer, but I'd like to help you. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, you say, what does it mean to be without Jesus Christ? I believe in him. That's good. That's a great first step. But leaning on Him and on His righteousness for your salvation, for the payment of your sins, that's something altogether different. If you've never done that, we invite you to do that today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Church, I'll just say this. I want the Lord to show up in our church every time these doors are open. I want the Lord to do some great things in this next year like He did this year, in spite of all the chaos in the world. I am thankful for what He did this year, but I'd like to see Him do more. You know what it takes? Him showing up. You know what that takes on our part sometimes? Waiting. I'm sure if I took a poll for some of you that have been around a few years, Lord, we want a building. You know what the Lord keeps saying? Wait. 2-3 weeks ago, I said, Lord, we need a van. Our van, it'd be great to have that again. You know what the Lord said? Wait. And then it showed up, fixed. See, what is that? Just waiting. Hope the Lord spoke to you today and you got something from the Word. As you go off into your week, pray that the message is something that can help you. We all could use a little bit more patience, amen? So let's learn to wait on the Lord. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And Brother Craig, if you would do that for us, dismiss us in a word of prayer. We hope to see you here Wednesday night for our Eve of New Year's Eve fellowship and look forward to a good time together.